Heading over to Roswell, New Mexico. I don't think we've actually ever had a report from Roswell, Wayne.
We probably never had a report from a Roswell donut shop either, but there's a little place here called Roswell Donuts. It's like, I come and go. My schedule is based on getting here to get a donut. They're that good.
What do you have? What kind of donut do you have in today?
I've got a twist with some chocolate on it, and then a kolache, and I'm kind of conscious about my sugar. What comes in goes out, you know. And I get here, and I just it's like irresistible, man. Just kind of understand the addiction to some of these chemicals.
Gonna throw a little ketchup in there? Sugar.
No ketchup, man. No ketchup on the kolache. Just the purest. I guess could put a little mustard on there, but coming out of Ruidosis, so we have a meeting in Ruidosa with the Texas Ag Co-op Council. Then I usually wrap a couple of days of vacation around it. So in the back of our car is golf clubs, a porta potty, coffee maker, a cowboy coffee maker. We've got the most random assortment of stuff in the back of the car, and then my wife decided we needed a rooftop camper to go on her car. One of those deals that pops up as a camper, and then you're 6 foot in the air if you fall. And so we spent the night in it, a couple of nights, and prepping it up for some grandkid business. They love it. And, at 2 a.m, when being an old man kicks in, you're trying to get down a ladder off the top of your car, and you're wondering, how did I get here at 60, Todd? And
you need a rope, man.
Yeah, I need a safety net down there at the bottom, but, you know, there's no safety net, and then we're 9,000 feet in the mountains, and at some point you just come bear bait, you know, if you break something or compound fracture. But, I think I live with somebody that's lost an adventure, and you know, if you get lucky enough to wake up today, you should probably take advantage of that. We try to live out as much as we can. Maybe a rooftop tent at 60 is a little much, but man, I don't think I'm going to regret it when I'm 80 if I get there. So pretty cool week. We had kind of doing a little reconnaissance work. Nate Sheets was up there, and we've got to know him pretty well. Of course, he's the Republican nominee for the state ag commissioner to replace Sid Miller. He beat Sid in the primaries. And then Tom Sell was up, as well as pretty good list of folks that we get to see, and we do projects with them, and we Mark Welch was there. Good economic panel, a lot of cotton people there, a lot of our members. Rodney Hunter was there, spent the afternoon with Rodney and his wife Sarah, just kind of visiting through the crop there and the changes we're going through. We had a board meeting a week ago, and we're going through some structural changes to address structural changes in our industry, which there on the High Plains, we've gone from kind of grain sorghum, which brought the cattle feeding industry there in the early 60s, and all cattle on the High Plains were fed grain sorghum. The development of irrigation made it all over in the corn, and now we're seeing it kind of come back and bring some dairies up there in our silage programs. So two big things up there that have kind of taken over, of course, the dairies, and then some of our bigger members are ethanol plants. So HET, Level N, those guys chew up between 15 and 20 million bushels a year. There's two other plants that are a little closer to you near Plainview, and you see those stacks up there. And just wake up one day and we're not really a grain sorghum economy on the High Plains. We're much more focused on the dairies and ethanol plants. I can't think of a better scenario for a commodity, honestly, than to build in a domestic market, and that's not something that's happening with other commodities. Cotton has gone overseas. We traded cotton down the river for airspace over Turkey, and I think we should be compensated for that during the first Gulf War, and we did away with our domestic industry, and we're very fortunate to have those two industries come back into sorghum. Hopefully cotton is able to do that as well. But, you know, those industries are very important because they don't require a lot of transportation. And when we did this earlier in the 60s and 70s and developed the cattle feeding industry, everybody had a short line. There were short line rails everywhere. There were switches. Every one of these towns you go by and you see a little elevator on railroad, that was a switch. The railroads decided we didn't need those anymore, choked it off. We're relying on truck transportation, which now competes with the oil and gas industry, which you can't compete with those guys. So, you know, what we're seeing is that you can come back now and have a truck industry that delivers directly into an ethanol plant or delivers into dairies. And some of these dairies are actually chopping grain sorghum. And we're doing a study, kind of ancillary here, we're doing a study on Schrader silage chopper, which takes those berries on the plant and crushes up to 98% of the berries, where traditional silage choppers only get about 15 to 20% of them. And if that works, that's an industry changer. I mean, that'll change a lot of things. It'll fix a lot of things for growers. But again, we're going back and we're developing those two markets. If they're competing against each other, that's wonderful for our bases, for our growers, for our economies. But then if we have China come back in and start consuming grain like we think they will, we're going to have a really dynamic situation economically, where we have both a robust domestic market as well as a very robust export market. And that was my question to Darren Hudson and Mark Welch yesterday on a panel was, we're going from a very perceived free change supply and demand system into a managed trade, which is what's happening with China. We just turned in our comments on the China Board of Trade, where we requested that China be required to buy 7 million metric tons of grain. And if you could force that, if you could say, we're going to trade, we're going to do this, and you're going to buy this, and we're going to buy that, we're going to leave each other alone, throwing lead at each other, you know, you've got a pretty good deal there. And this free trade deal may be kind of run its course, because what we've learned is these countries don't adhere to WTO agreements. So China's only been in WTO since 1999. They're cinching into there. There's no TRQs on sorghum, so this could be an absolute best case scenario if it goes through. So I'll be in Mexico City third week in July. U.S. trade rep Jameson Greer is holding a meeting there. I sit on an ATAC team at USDA. Julie Callahan reached out to her. Would love to get to visit with her about our situation. And again, I plead our we need to sell grain to China situation. But, you know, we could have a really good situation. But my question to Hudson and Welch were, does this change the farm bill? Does this, you know, we used to have some managed trade back in the 60s and 70s, seemed to work pretty well until it fell apart. But it's where people were required to buy a certain amount of commodities from other countries. So those comments, I think today is the 10th. Those comments are due on the 10th, so they go in to USTR. We've been in their ear every chance we've gotten, so. Looking forward to a lot of good things, kind of doubling back on our meeting, visiting with Nate Sheets, emphasizing the importance of China to us. Of course, Nate doesn't have a lot of ag experience, but, man, that guy's dialed in to what needs to happen at TDA. He's Nate's bees. He's the largest honey supplier in the United States. He actually owns a little sorghum chip company. They sell potato chips made out of grain sorghum. He's got very industrious man, very efficient. Look forward to working with him if he gets into office in November, which I feel like he will. But he's out listening. Great guy. Got to spend about an hour with him and his daughter, who's his campaign manager. So for us, you know, in the sorghum world, it's been a good week to clearing the brush for our growers to help develop these markets and help emphasize what grain sorghum does to the economy, as well as our forages, which are becoming more and more prevalent on the high plains. And again, you know, it's just contacts and making contacts with these people that can help our industry and in the end help our growers. And in the case of USTR and everything we just talked about, it's ever a commodity, and just making sure we got a foot in the door, Todd. You know, it was a pretty good week, and highlighted by sleeping on top of my wife's car in a tent. So it doesn't get any more different than that, I don't think.
Hey, you mentioned Rodney Hunter there. We call him Rain Gauge Rodney. He lives up the road here.
He is a cool guy, man. His wife, Sarah, they're just, I love spending time with them. And Rodney's got been in the grain industry a long time, and call and visit with him. Of course, Boozer and those other guys, Robert, we're good friends with all of those guys. And, you know, we're just getting old and our industry's changing, and it's fun to catch up with those guys. But, you know, Rodney runs Hereford Co-op there, and I think all the things that we're talking about have forced a lot of change in co-ops as well as independent elevators, and trying to help those guys address it, keep the grain industry robust, very important to us.
So Rodney told me when we got here in 2015, he used to listen to me at the station in Amarillo on the tractor, so I feel old.
That's funny. Yeah, you are old. I'm not as old as you. So.
Nope, you're not. You're a youngster.
I'm a young guy, young, tender, 60.5 years old, but probably going to outrun my coverage here, but I'm going to be on the road for about 8 more hours. So if anybody wants to visit Todd, feel free to give me a call on my cell phone. It's 254-541-5375. Thanks, Todd. Y'all have a great weekend.
Neighbor, I'm Larry Marble. You're listening to a post-auction sale report on the Down on the Farm radio network. Bill Martin, Lone Star Stockyards, Wildorada, Texas. How'd your sale go this week?
Had a good sale, Larry. 1,080 head went through the ring. Compared to a couple weeks ago, the market was strong on all classes of feeders. Calves were fully steady to sharply higher in spots. In Jayton, Texas, we had a load of 750-pound steers at 377. Another load from the same place, 640-pound steers at 423.50. Some 511 weights off the deal at 467. A load of 800-pound heifers from Jayton brought 332.75. A load of 685 weights at 369.75. From Amarillo, we had a load of mixed crossbred heifers weighing 786, 333 and a quarter. From Hereford, a load of 890-pound backgrounded steers at 333. Olton, 8 1/4 weight steers at 359. Dalhart, 407-pound heifer calves at 562.50. 504 weight heifer calves at 467.50. Tulia, 580 weight steer calves at 452. 435 weight steers at 532. 520 weight heifer calves at 447. Canyon, 466-pound weaned heifers, 507. 360 weight heifers at 580 by the pound. Spearman, 530-pound steer calves at 490. 540 weight heifer calves at 447. Friona, 615-pound bull calves at 417, 400-pound bull calves at 562. Happy, 677 weight steers at 401, 650 weight heifers at 389.
What was the count?
1,080.
How are you feeling about next week?
You know, don't have many consigned yet. This time of year, that should be pretty small, but we'll see what happens.
Tell everybody how to get a hold of you, Bill.
Please call us at 806-677-0777.
Bill, thank you for the call.
Thanks so much, Larry.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Neighbor, looks to me like that's it for this Livestock Market Operator Report with Bill Martin. Great sale there in Wildorada. Bill, thanks for being on KDHN. Neighbor, thank you for listening. Good day.